Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Book of Atonement. Leviticus was written to show Israel how to live in fellowship with God. Above all, Israel must be taught the holiness of God, and Leviticus reveals this in three ways. In chapter number 17, verse number 11, the sacrificial system. In chapter 18, verse number 5, the precepts of the law. And then in chapter 26, the penalties for violations. And we see that here in the book of Leviticus. The structure of Leviticus, it may be divided into two broad divisions. Now think about this, the way to God and the walk with God. The way to God is in chapter 1 through 17, and then the walk with God is in chapter 18 through 27. I want to say this to you tonight. Many try to walk with God, which is separation, without first going the way of God, which was a sacrifice on Calvary. How many times you heard somebody say this, I'm going to try to turn over a new leaf. I've witnessed to people before. Matter of fact, there's a man lives on Prison Camp Road that I've witnessed to and tried to get to come to church. And here's what he says. And every time I've ever witnessed to him, he's had a beer in his hand, and he's just an alcoholic. I mean, from early in the morning to late in the evening, you'll see him. He's an alcoholic. And here's what he'll say. I got to get some things right in my life before I go to church or before I get saved. Hear me and hear me well. There'll never be a walk with God. That is the sacrifice that was made on Calvary. There'll never be that walk with God until you've realized the way to God is through the sacrifice. We can't clean ourselves up. It's just not going to happen. There has to be an atonement made, and that was through the blood of Calvary. And because of that, we can now walk with Him. The central theme in this book is fellowship. The way to God is sacrifice in chapter 1 through 17. When you begin to study that, you'll find that the book of Leviticus covers and deals with different offerings. There is the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. You also find out that he don't talk about this much in here, but you also find it's very interesting. And let me encourage you to do this. Read the book of the Bible that we are studying before we study it. That's one thing that I'm trying to do. If we're going to study the book of Leviticus, I try to take a morning and read that book. Now, I understand when we get in some of the bigger books, you'll have to do it in a couple days. But he talks about offering a wave or a wave offering to God. Boy, that's interesting to study or look at that. Now, as we think about these offerings, there's the burnt offering. It's foreshadow of Christ offering himself without spot to God. There's the meal offering, and it exhibits the manhood of Christ. The peace offering speaks of restored communion with God through Christ offering himself on Calvary. The sin offering pictures Christ as the sin bearer. Then there's the trespass offering, and it speaks of sins against others and the injury sin does. Now, whenever you go to chapter 6 and chapter 7, you'll find, or as we go to chapter 8 through chapter number 10, you find the priest. He begins to talk about the high priest. He talks about Aaron. He talks about him being cleansed and clothed and crowned and anointed in chapter number 8. Now, I want to say something. It's very interesting to study that high priest right there. Man, it's a great study. Then we go to the people in chapter number 11 through chapter number 16. God's people, hear me right here. Chapter 11 through chapter 16, must be a clean people. Can I say that again? I'm not talking about getting in the shower. I believe you ought to be clean that way also. Somebody say amen. Me and Brother Mark was talking about an individual the other day, and I've just come to the conclusion that he don't believe in deodorant. And I told Brother Mark, I said, take him some, man. But anyway, I'm not talking about physically clean. I'm talking about spiritually. We're to be a clean people, man. We're to have fellowship with God. And the only way to have fellowship with God is through Christ and through the blood of Christ. Because of our sin, we must go to Christ for forgiveness. He is our sin bearer. He is our go-between. And because of him, we can now have fellowship with God. So God's people must be a clean people. He talks about that. He talks about the altar in chapter number 17. Now I'm going to go to chapter number 17 in just a few minutes. Then there is the walk with God in chapter 18 through 27. There is separation. And I'll say this, we are to be a separated people today. We don't hear much preaching on separation anymore, and we don't hear much preaching on coming out from among the world anymore. We don't hear much preaching on holiness anymore. He said, be holy for I am holy. And you say, well, how can I be holy? It's through Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can live a separated life through Christ. He strengthens me to live a separated life. The old man I died to when Christ died on Calvary. Amen. And I was raised a new man in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can live separated, holy lives today through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about that. As you go through here, there's the Feast of the Passover. He begins talking about the feast. The Feast of the Passover, it celebrates Israel's redemption from death and bondage in Egypt. Then you'll find there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of the Trumpets, and then chapter 23, the middle part of it takes us into the Day of Atonement. Boy, I'm telling you, if you want to do a good study, study the Day of Atonement. Amen. The Feast of the Tabernacles, then chapter 25 through 27, there is a holy land. And that's kindly a quick little overview of what all is going on in the book of Leviticus. Now go to chapter 17 with me. I've tried to do this each week, is to give you an overview of it, but then give you a application out of the book and a quick little outline out of a particular part of the book. Leviticus chapter 17. Look with me in verse number 11. We'll just look at this one verse. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now note what he says. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Boy, I'm telling you, that's one of the most important verses in your King James Bible tonight. What did he say? He said this, it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. What makes an atonement to bring my soul from death to life? Well, what did he say? He said the life of the flesh is in the blood. There's a practical application, I believe, that can be made there, that for the soul to go from dead to living, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespassings of sin, in order for your soul to be made alive, it took the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the blood tonight, I'm telling you, we'd be in a mess and headed straight for the flames of hell. But thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without blood, there cannot be life in the physical body. That is just as true in the Bible. Blood flows through the Bible just as it does through our veins. The blood of Christ keeps Christianity alive. Someone said this, cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed. Cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed. The blood is spoken of 427 times in our Bible, so it is easy to see this is not a minor theme, but a major theme in the 66 books of our Bible. Without the blood, the gospel is dead, and we are deprived of eternal life. Jesus said this, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Listen, "for the remission of sins." Paul added, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." He also explained, "We have redemption," listen now, "through the blood, even the forgiveness of our sins." Peter added, "We are not redeemed with silver and gold as precious stones, but with the precious blood." Is anybody getting the theme of the message tonight? "With the precious blood of Christ." John agreed with Peter and Paul when he wrote in 1 John 1:7, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I sure am thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. The early church understood the blood. Out of 22 sermons recorded by the first four preachers or recorded by four preachers in the book of Acts, all give the same message: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They understood that his death and the provision of the covering by the blood was the essential ingredients of the gospel. Hear me and hear me well. Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. Without the blood, there is no hope tonight. Yes, it took the death. Yes, it took the burial. Yes, it took the resurrection. But it took the blood, because without Jesus shedding, he did not spill his blood. He shed his blood. And without the shedding of Jesus' blood, there would be no remission of sin tonight. Did you know that blood is something that is internal? You don't see my blood tonight. The only way that you're going to see my blood tonight is if I am injured, I am cut, or you stick a needle in my vein and draw my blood. What I am saying to you is this: for blood to be external, something has to happen. Can I say to you tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ, that day on Calvary and on Golgotha and on the scourging post, he was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. He was beaten. His blood was shed so your sin and my sin could be taken care of. Can I just say something about the blood by way of introduction? And I'm watching the time. The blood of Jesus tonight, the blood is perfect tonight. Judas said, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." said, Jesus said, which of you convinceth me of sin? John said this, in him was no sin. The blood of Jesus Christ did not take upon himself the earthly father Joseph's blood, because he came by the way of a virgin by the name of Mary, and his bloodline was not of Joseph, it was polluted. His bloodline was not of Mary, it was polluted. Oh, but his bloodline was a perfect bloodline, because it came straight from the throne of a holy God. It was a perfect blood tonight. The blood was perfect tonight. The blood is perpetual tonight. That word perpetual means continuing or enduring forever. Man, I feel like preaching, and y'all ain't, I don't even know if y'all with me tonight. It means continuing or enduring, watch this, forever. The blood of Jesus Christ will be continuing and enduring forever. It is perpetual. The writer of Hebrews speaks of Christ as this. He speaks of one who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Why? Because his blood is continuing forever. Paul tells us this way, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He goes on to say this in Hebrews, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He goes on in chapter 10 and says this, but this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Let me tell you the reason he's seated at the right hand of God tonight. Here's the reason why. His blood sacrifice was enough. He didn't need to go back to Calvary. He didn't need to be beat with a cat of nine tails again. He didn't need a crown of thorns again. Why? Because his blood is perpetual tonight. It still flows from the throne of God tonight. It's still cleansing the sinner tonight. It's still converting the sinner tonight. Why? Because his blood is perpetual tonight. Can I just say this? One day God may bless me with grandbabies. And can I say, I'm glad the blood from the throne of, well, amen, will still be flowing from a Calvary. If God gives me great-great-grandbabies, the blood will still be flowing. It is perpetual tonight. Well, it's perfect, but I thought about this. I'll give you a little outline just a second. I thought about this. The blood is powerful tonight. The songwriter said it this way. Would you be free from your burden of sin? Would you? There's power in the blood. Would you over victory win? Would you? There's power in the blood. Thank God it's powerful tonight. And Revelation chapter number 5 said, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Amen. The blood is protective tonight. The reason the death angel passed by in the book of Exodus chapter number 12. Why? It's because the blood was applied to the doorpost. Let me tell you the reason the devil can't do nothing to me tonight. The devil can't get my soul. The devil can't take me to hell. The devil can't send me to hell. Let me tell you the reason why. July the 20th, 1994, that great, powerful, pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is perpetual, God applied to my life, and I am protected by the blood of the Lamb tonight. Well, here's what he said in our text. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the souls. And you see, the blood of Christ was provided tonight. It was provided. Let me give you three things about that. 751. Number one, I see the person behind the provision. We're talking about the blood being provided tonight. There is the person behind that. Note what your Bible said. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. If you underline in your Bible or a highlight or make circles or write, amen, a hallelujah, thank God, do it all right here. I have given it to you. Who is that? That is God, the person behind the provision. God tells the nation of Israel that He is the one who has given them the blood. He was the creator of it, and He was the author of the sacrificial system. Left to themselves, Israel would have chosen any number of methods for conducting religion. It would have involved methods or idols and works. However, God devised a system that involved death and suffering. This has always been His plan. In Genesis chapter number 3, verse 15, He gives us the first promise of the Redeemer to come. In verse number 21, He made coats of skin for Adam and Eve. In Exodus chapter number 12, it was by the blood of the Lamb that they was protected. Why suffering and death? Because the sinner needed to know firsthand the penalty and the price for sin. You see, Calvary was not an afterthought to God. Man didn't mess up, and God thought, what am I going to do now? But before the foundations of the world was ever laid, God knew that He would provide Himself a lamb. God knew that the blood of Jesus Christ would take away the sins of the world. It wasn't my ideal. It wasn't your ideal. Hey, if we depended on our ideals, we'd be in trouble today. Oh, but aren't you thankful that there was a God that looked down through time and provided Himself a lamb? There's the provision. That provision was by God. God demanded blood from the children of Israel, and the Lord it still demands of blood tonight. God just didn't demand something. Hear me and hear me well. God just didn't demand it. God provided it. Can I say that again? He just didn't demand it. He provided it. He provided it for the children of Israel. Who do you think put them little lambs on the earth to begin with? Amen. Who do you think let them reproduce to begin with? Who do you think made a lamb to be able to reproduce? It was God in the beginning. Amen. He provided the person behind the provision, the place of the provision. Watch this. The place of the provision. What did He say? I have given it unto you upon the altar. Upon the altar. The place God mentions is the altar. A place associated with death and suffering. The altar was bloody, grim place, also marked by the blood, the dead, and the dying. From the altar rose the smoke of the sacrifices that burned there continually. It was a place of suffering. This all pointed ahead to a time when the Son of God would go to an altar called the cross and would shed His blood for the redemption of mankind. Never lose sight of the terrible price that Jesus paid on the altar of Calvary that day. The place of provision. The place of provision. I thought about this. He suffered terribly so that we might be saved. Just as the sacrifices of an old were tied to the altar and burnt with fire, Jesus was nailed to His altar and burned in the fire of divine wrath. The price He paid was a terrible price so that you and I could go free from a terrible penalty. Amen. Well, there's the person behind the provision. There's the place of the provision, the altar. But then I'll show you this and I'm done. The purpose of the provision. I may have to go back and work on this and preach this sometime. Look what he said. He said, I've given you upon the altar to make, watch this, to make an atonement. That was the purpose of this provision. It was so atonement would be made. That word atonement's a strong word, and here's what it means, a covering. God gave them the blood as a means of covering their sins and of bringing them into fellowship with himself. Lest we forget, sin separates us from the presence of God. Isaiah talks about that. The blood has the power to bring us back together in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of it, here's the purpose of the blood. So God could fellowship with man again. So God could fellowship with man again. Last night, Leslie said, I decided about 4 o'clock I'd go to church, and she's fixing to go to the grocery store, and she said, you want me to go with you? And I said, no, you need to go get some groceries. We need something to eat around here. She said, well, what if I want to go? I said, well, you need to go get some groceries. And I called Dakota, and I said, hey, man, I'll stop and get you, and I'll take you with me. I said, I'm coming right up by where you live at. And he said, I can't. I said, well, all right, that's all right. I said, but why can't you? And he said, because I got hurt. I said, what do you mean you got hurt? He said, I fell. I said, well, what'd you hurt? He said, he tore something in his knee, Brother Brian, and his ankle and his foot. He said, they told me not to put no weight on it for 3 days. And I said, how'd you fall? I kept waiting on him to say, you writing a book? Leave that part out. He said, I got up out of the bed at 1 o'clock in the morning to let the dog out. And I couldn't help it. I busted out laughing, Brother Kevin. And I said, what'd Kelsey do? He said, she took me to the hospital. I said, did she laugh when you hit the ground? Because I promise you I would have, Hoss. So he couldn't go. And I got in a vehicle and I started up the road. And it's just like the Lord said, I didn't want nobody to go with you. I wanted to spend some time with you. I said, all right, Lord. I didn't turn the radio on. I didn't turn no preaching on. Are you hearing me? I didn't call nobody. You know what I did for about an hour and a half? Riding up 221 out of Hillsville. Me and the Lord just got to talking. He said, boy, if you want to meet with me, if you want to have fellowship with me, you got to get sin out of your life. And that's when God began to stir in my heart, us coming together and praying. You want me to tell you the purpose of the provision, the purpose of blood being shed, the purpose of Calvary tonight. Here's the reason of it. It's so God could speak to us and we could speak to God. It's so amen. It's so we could walk hand in hand together, even though the world may be going crazy, even though sometimes we may think those in our family may be going crazy. I sure am glad that I can steal away with him, and I can have fellowship with him, and I can talk with him, and he can talk with me. That was the purpose of every bit of this. Is so we could have. Why was man created in the first place? What did God do in the cool of the day? He walked with Adam and Eve. That's what he done. He fellowshiped with them. It was the purpose of it. God genuinely wants to have fellowship with us. He has proven this by the lengths he has gone, listen to me, to bring us together. Miss Courtney, will you start playing softly? The fact that God would hear me if you've not heard nothing else tonight. The fact that God would place our value above that of another's life and just not another's, his only begotten Son is an amazing thing. Can I just say that again? The fact that God would place our value and our fellowship above another's life, and that was the life of His darling Son, is an amazing thing. To me, it's absolute proof of the power of the love of God for humanity, that He would value us more than the life of His own Son, is a truth that is wonderful beyond words. A truth that is wonderful beyond words. Matter of fact, Romans said it this way. Romans said it like this. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sin, Christ died for us. While we were, you know what? That verse was written before we ever got here. But He knew when we got here, we'd be sinners. So He just went ahead and called us what we was. Somebody holler amen. And He said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's the blood tonight, and it's been provided. I'll give you this in closing. That Old Testament, here's what they say. You've heard, and it's not wrong. It's in the Bible. But you got to understand context and dispensationalism. My sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. They was in the Old Testament. My sins are blotted out as a thick cloud. They was in the Old Testament. My sins has been cast in the depths of the sea. They was in the Old Testament. But let me tell you what happened when the Lamb of God showed up on the scene. He took the sin of the whole world. All those sins that was floating from the east to the west. All those sins that was in the depths of the sea. All those sins that was blotted out like a thick cloud. You know what? If you go outside right now, it's cloudy. But tomorrow morning, if you'll go outside and begin to watch, if the weather does what they say it's going to do, those clouds are going to begin to break. They're going to go away. And you know what? What if all my sins was behind one of them clouds? And Brother Josh, it went away, and everybody saw all my sins. I understand that's what it was in the Old Testament. Oh, but when Jesus came on the scene, He took the sin of the whole world and, amen, and carried it to Calvary and laid His life down willingly, and the blood of Jesus Christ washes our sins away. You ask me why I'm happy tonight. It's because my sins are gone. They are not there no more. If you go to the throne room today and ask about me, God would say yes. His name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you was to say, well, what about this that He done at some point in His life? God would say something like this: all I see is the blood of my Son. I don't see His sins. I don't see His mistakes. I don't see His failures. All I see is the blood of Jesus. And because of that, that has been provided tonight so we can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I just say this. As I read through Leviticus yesterday and today and Monday, I just couldn't help but stop right there in verse number 11 of chapter 17. All of that's been provided because of God. I didn't do one cotton-picking thing to deserve it. God. I'm telling you, we ought to just take that recess and shout a while. God done it. Knowing everything about me. Every time, Miss Kayla, I'd fail. every time I'd sin, every time I'd mess up. You know what he said? I think enough about Robert Potts and about having fellowship with Robert Potts. I think I'll let my boy die just so I can talk to him. Boy, that ought to make us shout and humble us at the same time. The provision of the blood. Father.